You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You on a Thursday morning, and I have to tell you, I'm pissed about yesterday. Yeah, I'm not over it. So I get up, I record an hour, right, of radio, which I've taken to doing since I get on the road and I'm busy. And so I put it on the website. I then go turn around and I put it in the player at my corporate headquarters that plays it. I have a reminder on my phone, getting ready to do post-traumatic winning. And the reminder comes up at, 10:55 Eastern time? And so I'm sitting there. Actually, I'm in General Furness's car. We were driving over to New River. And all of a sudden the reminder comes on. I'm like, oh, yeah. So I sit there for 5 minutes and watch it. And at the appropriate time, boom, hit play. And I'm all happy. Like, all right, everything works. I'm good. And then, I don't know, I look at my phone a couple hours later, and I get this snarky comment from Bob Nielsen. What's your excuse today? I'm like, what's he talking about, man? It's on. And it wasn't on. I'm like, what happened? And so, let me tell you what happened. The process, the normal process, is I go into a folder called All Marine Radio 2019, and I drag the file from there over to the player at the corporate computer, the desktop computer in my home. So that's the normal path. And when I'm on the road, it's still the same process. I network into my computer, right, except there's a different step. That's right. So when I'm on the road, I simply email the audio, the MP3 file, to myself. And then I go into my desktop computer. It's there. I download it. Boom, it hits my computer. And then, but it's not in the All Marine Radio 2019 folder. It's in the download folder. So I was thinking, like, what did I do? How did I screw that up? Because I was pissed. Nielsen and his, what's your excuse today? Me shit. So, so I'm thinking, how could I have screwed that up? I know how I screwed it up. So I send it right? And now I'm going to drag it. So I open up the, you know, Windows Explorer. I go into the 2019, and I grab the top file, and I didn't look at the date. I grab the top file, drag it over, boom, I'm done. I go and I look at it, August 22nd. Nice going, Chumley. You lose. So yeah. So with apologies, yesterday's show is playing right now, or was playing. It's on the website too. You can go check it out. And let me tell you, you should listen to it, because my experience coming back here has been awesome. And the reason it's awesome is because I continue almost on a daily basis to run into Marines that heard it, either in January or March, and tell me about the impact that it had on their life. And I can't tell you how good that feels. You know, that you know, this thing started a year and a half ago when I had it rattling around in my head, like, I've learned so much from this. I need to share it. You know, how do I do it? What do I do? Do I write a book? Do it, you know, which I need to do. And I've started it, but I have too much shit going on. So anyway, but it starts a year and a half ago. And then when I did it in January here, after General Pernas said, you got to come back here. I mean, it was a theoretical proposition. Hey, I believe if you do this. Right, based on everybody I've spoken to, based on everything they've told me, I believe that this is where this will take you. Well, I don't say that anymore. If you listen to the show, you heard this, right? It's not a theoretical proposition. And the more Marines I meet, the more they tell me, the more I do this, the more I know that there's certain powerful things that affect human beings. Okay, one is the truth. The truth affects people, and the truth does land with a thud, and the truth needs no salesman, because people know it when they hear it, especially people affected by trauma. And so the next thing I know is we have to stop faking it, especially if you're a leader. You can stand up there and you can say all the platinum bullshit that you want about we got to care about each other, and if you need help, you need to put your hand up, and yada, yada. And they're just sitting there looking at you. But if you tell the truth about your life, it changes the entire event. You become something that they don't think you are, and that is a human being. You become approachable. You become all of that. And so the more I do this, there's critical elements I see in it. And that's one of them. As a leader, you gotta walk it. You can't simply talk it. And if you're content only to talk it, then guess what? You're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem with destructive behavior, because they've heard all that bullshit before. They've heard all that bullshit before. So you got to tell them the truth, and you got to pull your pants down first. And what you do when you unburden yourself and you tell the truth about the things you struggle with is you just give them permission to come to you and tell you their shit. Let me tell you about something that really cool that happened yesterday. I have cool event after cool event after cool event happen to me back here. I mean, it's like the cool festival. Because what's amazing is I can't even tell you how many lives these Marines have saved because of post-traumatic wing. And the Marines I talk to say, oh, yeah, I talk to people all the time, which is cool. So if you listened to the program yesterday, I had dinner with a Lance Corporal by the name of Kiker, and I met him in January, and he was struggling big time. So he and I go out to dinner, and At dinner, he said to me, I wish I could see it again, because, you know, that day, you know, I was not in the best place, and I'd like to see it again. I said, well, why don't you come tomorrow? And he looked at me, he goes, can I? I said, yeah, you can come. I said, in fact, why don't you speak? And he said, I don't want to do that. And I said, all right. I said, but yeah, come. So we're sitting there at dinner talking and laughing and having a good time. And he looks over at me and he says, I'll speak. And I got, I started laughing. I said, look, here's all I want you to do. Just tell the truth. Tell what happened to you. This is who I am. This is what I was when I walked in that day. I'd just like you coming here today. I did not want to be here, and I thought this was going to be bullshit. And this class just changed my life. And this is the direction my life's pointed in. And this is how I've helped people. And so we go over to New River yesterday. And we went to speak to MAG 26, Marine Aircraft Group 26, the equivalent of a Marine regiment. So their CO, his name Colonel Spade, Wes Spade, and he was call sign Ugly. The and they were, you know, they were fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And then their Sergeant Major, Sergeant Major Newcomb, she was great. And so we get ready to do it, and Lance Corporal Kiker shows up. So it's General Furness and I. General Furness knows him, right? General Furness took him on to his staff and really changed Lance Corporal Kiker's life. Much in the spirit of post-traumatic winning. And then Lieutenant General Milstead was there. You've heard him on the program, but I tell the story about General Milstead was one who was at the museum who saw Jeremiah Workman working at the museum and said, "Hey, Marine, you're Sergeant Workman." And he said, "Yes, sir, I am." And, you know, "What are you doing here in uniform?" "I'm working here, sir." "What do you do?" "I'm guarding this replica of a military working dog." Because when people pet it, the hair falls out. And General Milstead says, "You're shitting me, right?" And he's like, "Well, not really, sir." And he said, "Do you like it here?" He said, "Sir, I hate it. It's killing me." Milstead then went to the Commandant, and they got him out of there. And he became the driver for Sergeant Major Kent. Right? You see this pattern, right? People pull other people close to them. You know, Jeremiah now calls Sergeant Major Kent a second father to him. None of that happens without General Milstead, Boomer Milstead. You know, I told him yesterday, in my opinion, I think he saved Jeremiah Workman's life. And so he was there yesterday. He lives out here on the East Coast, I think about an hour away, up in New Bern, I think he lives, along the coast, and came down, formerly the CO of 2nd Mall. And so it was awesome to see him. He's a great friend and a great guy. And so the way this is going to work is General Furness, the CO of MAG 26, right, Colonel Spade, he's going to, you know, stand up, greet everybody. He's going to introduce General Furness. General Furness is going to talk for 20 seconds. "Hi, I'm General Furness. Before I say anything else, I want to introduce Lance Corporal Kiker." And he's got things he wants to say today. So Kiker stands up, and it was awesome because he was nervous, right? And so he had asked General Furness, "Do you care if I put a dip in, because it'll calm me down?" General Furness says, "I don't care." So he stands up, and he didn't put a little dip in, right? He put a big dip in. He put this big hunk of dip in his lip, and he stands up with his spit bottle, But it was quintessentially Marine Corps. It was awesome. And Kiker starts telling his story. And he said, you know, I, much like you all today, come here like 3 hours of my life, man. What the hell? On another bullshit class. And he said, you know, I come here and I was angry. You know, he talked about his father committing suicide when he was 9 years old. On the phone with he and his mom and his brother, he talked about having a tough childhood. And then after he gets out of boot camp, or while he's in, no, right after he got out of boot camp, his brother commits suicide. And then he finds out, after he buries him, somebody sends him a series of screenshots of text messages between his brother, right, and Lance Corporal Kiker's fiance. They were having sex. And, you know, he's telling the story, and you're sitting in the audience listening to it. And I'd heard it before. But you're watching him and knowing what he was, knowing, you know, the tough shape that I met him in. And you're watching him become a public speaker. Just cooler than cool. Like I told you, I've had all these cool experiences this week. Cooler than cool can be. And sitting there watching him as he told his story. And then he talked about, you know, going, you know, he needed to deal with his drinking. So General Furness got him to alcohol rehab class. And then since then, you know, he's getting out in 3 months, I think. He's got a job with the Mobile, Alabama Police Department. He's got his life pointing in the right direction. And then he said, I can't really tell you how many people I think that I've talked out of killing themselves. He said, maybe 10, maybe more. He said, I've lost track. He said, people tend, when somebody's in trouble, my friends tend to point them towards me, and I talk to them. And he said, and I share the stuff that you're going to hear today. So I'm sitting there watching him. And I'm just like, this is awesome. He's never spoken public in his life before. And it's, you know, it's probably, you know, somewhere between 150, 200 Marines in this room. And so he finishes, and he sits down next to me. And I lean over, and General Furness starts to talk. And I lean over and say, you're now a public speaker, man. And he looks at me and starts laughing and shakes his head. But it was, I mean, it's cooler than cool can be, right? It's cooler than cool can be, and all you've done is you tell people the truth, right? You tell them the truth, which is the three goals in the Nine Commandments. That is the truth that comes out of all the interviews that I've done over the years. And then you share with them your personal experiences. And they look at you and they're like, this guy's legit. He knows what he's talking about. Or this girl's legit. She knows what she's talking about. And then you help them. And then you help them. You help them become better people. And that, it changed them. And I believe that, you know, 99.9% of the people that ultimately wind up destroying their lives, and it might not be through suicide, it might be some other way. I mean, it's fixable, but you got to get to them, and you're not going to get to them by, you know, the platitudes and whatnot. You know, I was saying the Marine Corps doesn't need another program, right? The Marine Corps needs Marines to lead, but one of the big problems that post-medic winning fights is ignorance. People don't know the truth. And a lot of times you've, like me, you've lived through it, but you don't really know all the elements of, you know, the three goals and the nine commandments, because you learn them as you go. And then all of a sudden somebody walks into your life and it's like they switch the light on. And it's awesome. It's awesome. So, yeah, so then afterwards, so we do post-traumatic winning yesterday. And then afterwards, it's just cool, right? Marines come up, you know, how come nobody's ever told me that I'd never get over it? Another Marine, I know this was 3 hours, but it felt like 30 minutes. Now, I know everybody don't feel like that, but we hear that on a regular basis. You know, that was the fastest 3 hours I've ever spent. And so, yesterday was the first time ever done it with an aviation unit, and hopefully we'll do it more, because they have all the tools they need to solve this stuff. But the one thing I don't think that we put enough of in is that, you know, the power of post-traumatic winning is it comes from our warrior culture, certainly inside the Marine Corps, definitely inside the Department of Defense. And so, you know, so when we talk about this warrior culture and the truth that comes out of it, I mean, it's really powerful, and we identify with it. We as Marines identify with that because that's what we gravitated to on our own as individuals. So I think that if you don't come from that culture, if you don't speak that language, not that you can't be effective, but I think it's hard. But if you habla, if you speak the language, and if you have the experience and you tell them the truth, Marines nod their head. But if you habla, and you give them boilerplate, and you don't share with them your experiences, it doesn't have the same impact. They'll nod their head, okay. But they won't say that's legit, because they've heard a lot of this stuff before. You got to know your Marines. Yeah, whatever. I know that. No. I don't think you know that. I don't think you know what I'm talking about. And then they kind of turn their head, and then I play that quote from General Mattis. If you don't love your Marines, you should get out. And then he talks about what it is to love them. And it makes you rethink that. Do I know them like that? And then I talk about, you know, the 800 number. How pathetic is leadership if we're asking, if we so don't know you, if we so don't know what's going on in your life, that you're thinking about taking the only life you'll ever have, and we have no clue, and we're asking you to call an 800 number. It's pathetic. It's a pathetic indictment of leadership and how superficial it is. And the other thing I will tell you is this. They want to talk about it. They want to talk about it, so you got to open the door. And the door opens when you tell the truth. The door opens when you tell the truth. So, General Madison knew. And you know what? I want to talk a little bit about, not specifically what he wrote, but I want to talk generally about the role that I think that general officers have to play in a nation, in the United States, in a nation that's foreign policy is continually challenged by novice politicians. And the only people really that have the experience, the knowledge, who've taken an oath to the nation, who aren't invested politically, are, you know, the four-star generals of the United States military. And I think, in light of the mistakes made in Iraq and Afghanistan, they have a larger moral obligation to the nation to comment on the direction of policy. And if they don't agree, they need to do what General Mattis did. And let me tell you, that should have been done before we went to war in Iraq. It should have been done when we contemplated the ground war in expanding the ground war in Afghanistan. Not when we contemplated it, but when the decision was made to expand it, somebody should have called bullshit on it. So anyway, I want to talk about that here in a few minutes. So good morning to you on this Thursday morning. You know, I forgot what day of the week it was. Yeah,
it happens. Wake at night.
It happens. And I screwed up the Lynch and Kenny thing. But I've been kind of too busy, so I didn't have time to record it last night, and I can't do it live today because I'll be speaking at that time. So, with apologies to them. So anyway, you'll hear an hour of this morning, this discussion, a little bit of update on post-traumatic winning, and then I don't know if you'll hear the chef tomorrow either. So you'll get another update on doing post-traumatic winning this morning for spouses. I love doing it with spouses because they get it quick. And they think post-traumatic winning is a trick. Okay, this is a trick, right? You don't mean this. You can't because this is not Marine Corps shit. Spouses are, it's a hard group, man, because they live it. They live. They're the shock absorber. So I always, they're really, really interesting presentations to give. And they always stay after. And they always want to talk. So, the spouse can introduce it this morning too, Berta, who you've heard here on All Marine Radio. And, so she's gonna talk a little bit about, the same thing that Lance Corporal Kiker did. You know, I came to this thing, you know, months ago. And, here's what I expected, here's what happened, and here's how it's affected me. So, looking forward to that. So, good morning to you on this Thursday morning. The 29th day of August, Labor Day upon us, and the summer about to drop over the horizon in the rearview mirror. So, good morning to you. Thanks for listening here on this Thursday, and I'm going to try not to screw getting this on the air the right way up today. So, good morning to you. Dedicated to the Marines and Sailors of MAG 26. Awesome spending the afternoon with them yesterday, and hope that post-traumatic winning, the seed planting we did with some of them yesterday, takes hold, and hope that we get to work with them in the future. And but just thank you for the opportunity. God bless you all, and all the best of luck.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, you'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fighting. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather here on a Thursday morning on the East Coast. A little bit earlier than I normally do the weather. Currently it is sunny and 65. Early in the morning in Quantico, Virginia, where I'm currently located. Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, it is cloudy and 73. Out in the desert, clear, dark, and 80 degrees in 29 Palms at the home of the 1st Marine Division. Cloudy and 63 at Camp Pendleton. In Hawaii, home of the brigade, it is clear, dark, and 79. In Okinawa, the home of 3MF and the 3rd Marine Division, dark, cloudy, and a balmy 84 degrees. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is sunny and 113. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, in Marja, it is sunny and 105. At the corporate headquarters of All Marine Radio, it is clear, dark, and 68 degrees. As we approach Labor Day. So that is a look at your weather. We'll take a break. We'll come back. I want to talk about General Mattis's moral obligation to do what he did and why I think he's got a greater obligation to speak out now than any, I think, anybody in history. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it. The one and only, that's right, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hundreds of thousands of veterans have taken off their uniforms and put them away, carefully packed and safely stowed. But for some veterans, the uniform isn't so easily removed. The emotions experienced while serving continue to weigh on them. Life after service is different. Many veterans find transitioning difficult, and daily life is no longer as enjoyable as it once was. Some feel overwhelmed and lost. But that uncertainty doesn't take away from their strength and courage, nor does it take away from the sense of duty veterans carry with them. The transition from service is different for everyone. If you are a veteran going through a difficult time, or know one who is, the power of one person, one connection, one act of compassion can make a difference. For free 24/7 confidential support, call the Veterans Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1, or visit veteranscrisisline.net.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk you through a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of
yesterday in the course of doing post-traumatic wing, I don't know if we had already started it, or I don't know if it was afterwards or exactly when I noticed it, but my phone blew up, and it blew up with J.N. Mattis in the news headlines. And so he wrote something, right? In the Wall Street Journal, Mattis: duty, democracy, and the threat of tribalism. In the Atlantic, the headline resists, the man who couldn't take it anymore. Fox News: Mattis swipes at Trump, warns of storm clouds gathering amid fractured alliances. CNN, their headline, cites the Wall Street Journal. Mattis says he did as well as I could for as long as I could under Trump. National Public Radio: in book, former Defense Chief Mattis sideswipes President Trump's leadership skills. The Washington Post: top general defends behavior of U.S. troops in a very politically turbulent time. So the headlines go. Los Angeles Times: ex-Defense Secretary James Mattis warns U.S. at the breaking point. So anyway, I've had discussions, and you're going to hear General Zinni talk, and he's always inspired me. And as I think about things that we talk about on All Marine Radio all the time, because they're in my head, probably much like, you know, Vietnam veterans after the war. You know, you all knew this shit, and you let this stuff go. And so, to me, if you look at the people that decide to take the nation to war, politicians, okay, do they have any experience in this? Answer: no. For them, it's all a theoretical proposition. And if you look at the war in Iraq, they couldn't have been any more wrong than they were. I don't think Dick Cheney, I don't think Don Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, Condoleezza Rice, and Colin Powell, I think they failed the nation in such a huge way, it's ridiculous. And, you know, and the fact that they write books and make millions of dollars makes me want to vomit. I don't think they should show their faces in public anymore. And were it in my power, I would put them on an island in the middle of nowhere. And I'd leave them there to die. And that would be very benevolent on my part, because my instinct would not be to do that. My instinct would be to were I king, to administer the death penalty. What they did to the nation, the impact that they've had on the Middle East, the impact that they've had on Europe, has been catastrophic, might be too great a word. But what is just short of catastrophic? What word would you use to articulate that? That's what those idiots did. That's what those idiots did, all predicated, right, on the presence of weapons of mass destruction, that they could go flip this country that was really three groups, right, held together by a dictator, and that when they took the when they took the heavy hand off it, nothing would really happen in spite of what the war plan said. The arrogance of Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld, the stupidity of George Bush, the complicity of Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell, in my opinion, is borderline treason to the nation, if not straight up treason. That's why George Bush should never open his mouth again relative to public policy. The boiling cauldron that they lit off in the Middle East in their arrogance, the neoconservative arrogance, still rocks the world. Still is killing thousands of innocent people on an annual basis. Their folly, their ignorance, their stupidity, and their arrogance all rolled into one. And then you refocus the lens on Afghanistan and read about it. We didn't have a vision in either country of what would happen in phase four. In neither country did we have that. Well, what's ultimately going to happen? And again, for the United States military, taking down those countries is not an issue. It's not. We'll go do it, you know, any day of the week you want us to, and twice on Sunday. That's not the issue. What as a nation do you want to fabricate, right, in the aftermath? That's the issue. And can you do that? And if you cannot do that, then just go kill the people you want to kill and leave. In the case of Afghanistan, in the case of Iraq, just contain it. Because you may have something worse in its wake. And history teaches us that. So, I say that to say this about what General Mattis did. I have long maintained. So, who prevents that? All right? You have politicians who don't know fuck. Dick Cheney and the neoconservatives thought they could flip what they perceived to be a moderate Islamic nation, hand it over to expats, and then walk the fuck out, and everything was going to be okay, after they sent the army home and said, we're not paying your pensions, and all the other stupid shit they did. Units weren't even at Baghdad, and we were already turning other units around and bringing them out of the country to keep the cost down. I mean, it's just fucking stupid, right? Don Rumsfeld ripped up the war plan and wrote his own. That guy knows shit is a traitor to this country. I don't give a shit what his intent was. You don't get to miss it by that much. So the question in the equation is politicians who don't know fuck. Who is going to get in front of them and say no? Who is going to stand up in the nation and say, this is wrong? We shouldn't do this. Who stands up and says that? And my point in from what I've seen is that if the general officers of this country will not do that, then we are going to have more Beiruts. We are going to have more Somalias, Black Hawks down. We're going to have more Iraqs, more Vietnams, more Afghanistan. Because there is nobody else who's taken an oath to the nation that doesn't have a political dog in the fight. Now the question is, why don't more generals do it? And I would say the answer to that is easy. They lack the moral courage. They lack the moral courage. I wish there was a different answer to that, but there's not. And you get this version of, well, I could do it, I could be something for 48 hours, but then life goes on. One of the things I say in post-traumatic winning is this: why do you keep your honor clean? It's in our song. But why do you do it? And the answer to that is, you keep your honor clean for you. You have to put your head on your pillow for the rest of your fucking life. And if you can't put your head on your pillow knowing that you did the right thing, that pillow is going to be a hard, hard fucking place. How George Bush sleeps at night, I have no fucking idea. Because nobody can lift the burden that he wears on his shoulders. Nobody. The hundreds of thousands of innocent people that have been killed because of his fucking stupidity is a joke. How Don Rumsfeld sleeps at night, I have no idea. How Dick Cheney sleeps at night, I have no idea. But I can tell you why they don't show their fucking faces in public anymore. Because they know. They know their folly hurt the United States of America. It hurt world stability. And it killed hundreds of thousands of people. Who prevents that? There is no other group. Politicians will not. It's not in their DNA. It's not how they're formed. You know, a statesman, right? Not a politician, maybe. Who is that? Who stood up and said in the march to either one of those things? I mean, the march to the expansion of the ground war in Afghanistan and the march to the war in Iraq. Who stood up and said, we should not do this? And let me lay out the case why we should not do this. Nobody. Nobody. Now, there might have been people that were against the war based on political reasons, or they don't believe in war, but nobody articulated the case of why it was not in the national interest to go to war in these regions to expand the war. So who should do that? I would tell you this. One of the great crises in the nation is the moral failure of the general officers of the United States military. They have got to be better. And if it means resign, you need to resign so that you could put your head on your pillow for the rest of your life. And so, to me, General Mattis is answering his moral obligation to the nation. And I would say, well, where are the rest of them? Or, right, if you do that, does that jeopardize the franchise? Does that mean the board of directors of McDonnell Douglas isn't going to want you, along with the how many hundred thousand dollars you make a year for being on that board? Does it cost the franchise? Is that what happens? If it's the truth, why won't you go there? So, you know, when I saw it, you know, first of all, it's no surprise to me that he would do it. I think it's long overdue, right? And I believe some of President Trump's policies are right. Okay? But if you don't have somebody like Jim Mattis that helps you temper all of that, and all you do is wire brush and alienate, then you are going to stress your allies to the point of breaking. But I think more important than his point is the larger thing that he did. And everybody says, speak truth to power. In every one of those fucking confirmation hearings you see, are you afraid to speak truth to power? Oh, no, I'll say it. But they don't. But they don't. And so to me, what General Mattis did was really important. And that is, he set an example for all military officers, I think, that they should tell the truth, no matter the consequences. And if you have to get out as a two-star, then so fucking be it. That's a pretty good fucking run. But for the rest of your life, you'll be able to put your head on your pillow and know that I did the right thing. My moral compass was strong, right? My character wasn't besmirched by allowing the country to do something it should have never done with my complicity. And so I applaud him for it. I wish more would do it. And here's why I think in the future their moral role becomes more critical to the nation. There's no other entity that will jump in and do that. The politicians will not, right? Lower ranking military leaders want to go to war. You practice and practice and practice, and then something goes wrong, right? And people want to go to war, and I understand that. Because you practice, right? And you want to go. And that's the inclination of the beast. But there's got to be adults in the room. People with the educational background, right? People with the understanding of history, of politics, and in particular the understanding of war is politics by other means. And that we go to war in order to fashion something on the backside. And the United States of America fails constantly in that. And that's got to change because it is immoral to ask families to donate sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, uncles, aunts, husbands and wives to a cause that you can't make real, that you can't fashion what you want to fashion. In the case of Iraq, we're going to flip this. These three tribes have been held together by a dictator. These three groups, not tribes, that have been held together by a dictator because of a fucked up line that the Brits fucking carved out and made a country. We believe that we can just flip it and everything's going to be okay. It was bullshit from start to finish. But nobody said anything because it got linked to, 9/11. That's the case they made. What politician's going to get in front of that? None. And none did. So if there aren't clear-eyed leaders that will tell the truth, and the only place they come from is the American military, then the nation is doomed to continue these things. Going to war, wasting lives, both ours and civilians and theirs, for what? What do we get in the end? We left Vietnam. We left Beirut. We left Somalia. What happens in Iraq? Iran's more powerful? Israel getting ready to go to war with Iran? That's what we wrought. And now what's left in Iraq, in Afghanistan? We're gonna limp out of there with some bullshit peace agreement, and then the Taliban are gonna lay waste to the country again? Is that what you were looking for in phase four? Oh, well, of course not. Then what stupid ass said, let's do this? And who wasn't there to say that's a bad idea? People with credibility, people that the nation respects. So that there would be a cost to political leaders because, well, what do you say to General so-and-so who said this is folly? Now, again, you have assholes like Don Rumsfeld. When he was asked about Zinni's criticism of the war in Iraq, he said, I don't even think I know who that guy is. That's why Don Rumsfeld, right? That's why he should be on an island of the damned. And he should never show his face again in public, and he should never utter another word in public. Arrogant asshole who at his feet lay the lives of hundreds of thousands of people. But again, General Mattis, Secretary Mattis, what he's doing is what military officers need to do, because nobody else will do it. So there you have it. On a Thursday. That'll do it. Yeah. I'm not good, man. I am not good. All right, I'm off to be a post-traumatic winner. Yeah, that's what I'm off to be. So, have a great Thursday. I'll be back tomorrow with another an hour installment, and I'll make sure I get these things right. Have a great Thursday as you all get ready for Labor Day. All Marine Radio for today is over and out.